For Pennsylvania hunters and conservationists, our roots run deep. The episodes we bring to you on the Pennsylvania Game Commission's podcast, Call of the Outdoors, will take a deep dive into exposing the incredible work being done by agency staff and partners, including statewide habitat projects, the science behind wildlife management, and what drives agency decisions. The Pennsylvania Game Commission's mission is twofold: to manage and protect wildlife and their habitats for not only current but future generations, and to promote hunting and trapping in the Keystone State. Hello and welcome to Call of the Outdoors, the Pennsylvania Game Commission's podcast, and we have an exciting episode. You know, we're going to talk about something that's been around the Game Commission for a long time, and the two guests that are here today, Mr. Travis Lyle and Mr. Bob D'Angelo, they are part of the team that is behind Pennsylvania Game News. You know, when you think about game news, like I think about my childhood and going to the library and reading every article from cover to cover, and when you think about publications that are out there, magazines, it's one of the only ones left in the country. So welcome, gentlemen, and Travis. And if you would, just introduce yourself to everybody out there and what you do here at the Game Commission.
Sure. Well, that's a difficult question. my name's Travis Lau. I worked for the agency for 10 years. I'm the editor of Game News, the editor of a number of other publications, because I'm the chief of our publications division and also our communications director. So I handle a lot of the media relations for the agency. We're a busy bunch, and I can't wait to talk to you about it more.
So every time that, you know, a newspaper or a television crew comes to the office, you'll see Travis's smiling face on TV because he's giving that information that are in, and there's something happening every day. I mean, people don't realize, you know, what happens at the agency. And when you look at game news, to put a publication out once a month, that's a big job.
It is. You know, we're always working on the next one and the one after that, and there's a lot of work that's occurring with a lot of different issues all at the same time. So it's tough. You know, this deadline that we're on now for our January issue, we're always working a couple months ahead.
Right. You have to.
You know, there's a couple of holidays in there, and it's like we're trying to get out in the woods and hunt some too. And they creep up on you. And when it's time to buckle down, it's all hands on deck and charging forward with it.
Well, speaking of holidays, you know, it's right around the corner. What better gift? I mean, it's the gift that keeps on giving. If you know, Pennsylvania Game News, if you're a Pennsylvania hunter or just want to read about the outdoors in Pennsylvania, it is a great holiday, and it's cheap.
It is, you know, and that's one of the things that makes game news different. I mean, you can go down the list of things that make game news different, but that cost at $20 a year for a year-long subscription, it can't be beat anywhere.
Right.
And especially in today's world where everything is becoming exponentially more expensive and sort of right before our eyes, month to month.
You can't take your kid to McDonald's and eat for $20 nowadays.
That's the truth. So, you know, we're proud in giving people their money's worth with that.
So, Bob D'Angelo, I mean, you're the only employee that's been here since 1895.
It seems like it. I'm Bob D'Angelo. First, we got to give a shout out to Travis here. It's his birthday today.
You're kidding me. Yeah, so you're going to sing to him?
Well, Mike, you don't want to hear me sing.
Happy birthday, Travis.
Thank you very much.
29?
Once again.
I got you.
Been with the agency 29 years, all with Game News. So I've seen the magazine for quite a few years, seen how it's developed over the years. We got a great team that puts this together each month. I mean, Travis, he's doing most of the layouts now. He's really excelled at that. I mean, we got layouts that magazine looks the best that I've seen in 29 years. Bob Fry, who just came on board a couple years ago, excellent writer.
He's been a writer for a long time.
He has a newspaper background. Right. He's great at sniffing out stories. And we got Lori Neely, she's doing some layouts for us, and can't go without mentioning Patty Monk. She's the behind-the-scenes person with the game news.
Yeah, a lot of folks don't realize, you know, when they get it in their mailbox every month, what goes on, and we get to see it firsthand. I mean, it's a all-hands-on-deck, and hitting those timelines is tough, but we call him Bobby D at the office. He without a doubt, has the best hairdo in the Pennsylvania Game Commission. And he told me the secret today is his wife makes him do it a special way. So
I got a funny story with that, too. But on my second interview here 29 years ago, our administrative assistant at the time, Betsy Moggins, a nice lady, but she retired quite a while ago. But while she was walking me up to the interview room, we got about halfway up. She stopped me and turned around. She said, "You know, they really like you, but somebody mentioned about your hair being too long."
Oh, you're kidding me.
So needless to say, I had to get a cut before I started. But the latter part of my career here, I'm letting it
Times have changed.
If my wife lets me. Now, she's always trying to get me to get a cut, saying I got to look more professional.
Oh, I got
He's
you.
Got that post-pandemic look to him.
I got you. Well, right. In retrospect, thank you for 29 years, and I'm sure that, you know, there's plenty more to come, maybe.
Maybe, but the magazine's in good hands, I mean, for when I am gone. So.
Well, let's talk about the history a little bit of Game News and, like, where it started. I know it started as a bulletin, you know, back on with a typewriter and printing press, I mean, a long time ago, and how it's evolved to where it's at today.
Right. Do you want to take this, Bob?
Well, like when I started, we were working at, we still work, hadn't worked at a couple
of And that was 1929 with the start of the service bulletin.
I got you.
But the magazine did start as a monthly service bulletin in 1929. It was made public in 1932. So our circulation now is about 80,000.
That's unbelievable this day and age.
Right.
Now, that includes a lot of things other than paid subscribers, but I think even in that realm, that Game News is doing better than a lot of others out there in the private sector.
Well, and you also think about magazines, and I don't want to cut y'all off, but like every magazine out there today sells advertisement.
Mm-hmm.
There's not one advertisement sold in Pennsylvania Game News. It's printed, published, and delivered to sportsmen across Pennsylvania because of the information is so important.
Yeah, yep. And, you know, and it's like we touched on a little bit about the things that make Game News unique, and the lack of advertisement in that publication is one of them. The size of the thing, the way that we use illustration, all things that really make Game News a bit different. And I think that what really stands above everything else, and there is sort of different layers to this, is that it's a Pennsylvania product. You know, not every quote-unquote Pennsylvania publication can claim that, because there's a lot of shared content there.
Sure.
where really everything we do is under the oversight of our small staff there at the agency's Harrisburg headquarters. And that by and large, you know, everything in the magazine comes through Pennsylvania writers and artists with Pennsylvania ties and the folks in the Game Commission. And, you know, so there's never really bad information in Game News when it comes to hunting and trapping in Pennsylvania, the wildlife issues that are happening here, the many changes that have occurred over recent years, mm-hmm. with hunting and the way our seasons are structured and that sort of thing. And we're always on top of it. And that's like, I'm proud to give readers that much.
You absolutely should be. We'll go back to history in a second, but speaking of changes, you know, there is a lot of changes that happen, and getting that information to the public, whether it's Game News or social media or the website, that's a tough task. And you guys do an incredible job of staying on top of that and helping us stay on top of things too over in marketing. So, but let's go back to history and talk about where it comes from.
We're also very popular on the newsstand. In fact, the people to handle that say we're about the most popular magazine there. And another thing, our size comes into play there, because I'm told they put it in front of all the other magazines.
You guys did that on purpose years ago. You're smart marketers.
we haven't changed the size. Right.
Surveys tell us readers don't want it. They want that size. They know
it's branded.
Right.
It's 100% branded. Somebody told me, and this might be a wives tale or something, that the size, how it happened, they folded a piece of paper in half one day. And when Game News was a full magazine, is that true, or is that somebody just pulling my leg?
I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah, I haven't heard that. But
one thing I've learned about the Game Commission, again, I've only been here 4 years. If it's not 100% fact, nobody wants to air it out. So that's something I heard. I don't know if that's true or not. So
we are known as the best little magazine in Pennsylvania, hunting magazine.
Well, that's awesome. You guys should be proud. And you can tell as soon as you open up the pages of Game News how proud you are. And that's, you know, obviously we have a job and we have an income, but when you have a product that goes out the door that you can go home and feel good about, money can't buy that.
Yeah, and I think that that's like, you know, relates to just about everything in life. When something's a rush job or isn't really well thought out, it kind of comes across that way. And we hope the opposite is true with game news.
Right.
That, you know, that the time we put into it is obvious. And I think it is. And I think that that's one of the reasons why our numbers are as good as they are.
Sure.
And then, you know, we never really completed that thought about paid subscribers being part of the equation when it comes to our readership. But, you know, as you mentioned, reading game news in the school library, we continue to send out to school libraries statewide. Every graduate of our Hunter Trapper Education Program for the past 4 years, 5 years, whatever it's been, has gotten a complimentary 1 year subscription. So, our cooperators, the cooperating processors, the landowners who open their lands to public hunting, get game news as a gift, and an incentive to keep them in those programs.
Sure.
So it does have maybe a bigger role or a bigger purpose than, you know, your average hunting magazine, and that's part of what makes it a little different,
right,
too.
And it is good to have that niche and be your own identity, you know. And let's talk about, because it is a process, let's talk about how you, like, a little bit about your process, how you lay this out month to month, and how you stay on top of things and, you know, stay cutting edge, if you will, because that's not an easy task either.
Right. Bob, you want to go there?
Yeah, it's a lot of coordination, like Travis mentioned, but we do a lot of staff writing. Like I mentioned, Bob Fry's doing a lot of that now. Travis writes, I write myself. But a lot of Word Magazine is different is we run a lot of me and Joe, what we call stories. They're everyday hunter stories. Anybody can submit stories and review them. And not too many magazines do that anymore. It's your everyday hunter that harvested a nice buck or a long beard. And we like to get those stories in there as well.
So, I mean, would there be an encouragement for sportsmen out there to reach out and send us a story idea? I think that would be awesome. And, you know, maybe people don't know that.
Yeah. And like, you know, as Bob mentioned, he's been around a while here. And I think Bob will tell you that game news and what we get for stories submitted by hunters has changed a lot in even the past 10 years.
Right.
And I've been here 10 years now, where it's just like we get less and less coming in. You know, people tell their stories on social media. People tell their stories instantly.
Instant gratification.
You know, while they're standing at the harvest site, you know, the world might know it. And by the time they would think to write it up, which is additional work and, you know, sort of a different realm, it kind of gets lost in the shuffle. So I think, like, in recent years, one thing that we've had to do to maintain that is work a little harder internally to track down these stories, because not so many are coming to us. You know, probably right. when Bob started with Game News, we were so inundated with story submissions and rejecting so many and taking only the best, where now it's like we get a lot fewer, and a lot of what we do to sort of continue that we do through our own work and keep it going that way.
And I know a lot of your stories, I mean, there's a lot of education there. If you read it and open-minded and try to learn, you can learn something. I remember the story you did on Corey Galvis's buck. I mean, to me, that's one of the best articles ever. And there's really a lot to be learned about deer hunting when you read that article, when you really peel the layers down through it.
No, and that I mean, that story was such a pleasure to write and to hear Corey's story there. And then, you know, and I felt good about that story, but I'll tell you what, I thought that his own telling of that story trumped mine. So it's like, yeah, it was just...
The Galvis is a little different breed.
It was something as the writer of that story, I really couldn't miss.
Right. That was awesome. So let's talk about some of the different things that are inside of game news, Bobby.
Right.
And how long have you been a writer? Even were you a writer previous to game news?
Yeah, I did a lot of freelance writing. I've been a writer for about 33 years. So I was working a full-time job at a hospital at the time, and that was about a 50-hour job. And then I was freelance writing about another 30 or 40 hours a week. So well,
you tell me a story a lot, too. I've heard this a couple times about a letter that you wrote when you were a kid that really inspired you to do what you're doing today.
And right. And I just had a recent article mentioning that as a high school kid, I would write to Roger Latham. A lot of people in the outdoor industry know that name.
Especially in the turkey industry.
Right, exactly. I would write him letters probably once a week, just asking simple questions. What size shot do you use for grouse? What kind of rifles do you use for this? And to his credit, he would answer every one. So that kind of inspired me to write more. And then I wrote an article for Game News years ago and got in with that. And then, like I said, I was on a lot of other freelance hunting and fishing articles for various magazines.
Mm-hmm. And that's something that we all should take a lesson from, you know, as stewards of hunting or even just life, is, you know, no question's too dumb. And because, you know, or we should take the time to do that mm-hmm. when somebody has a question, especially youngsters that are, because he encouraged you and kind of lit that fire to a 30-year career of spreading the great stuff to our right. folks of Pennsylvania. But, you know, talk about the magazine a little bit, about what all it contains, because there is a lot of different layers in there that, you know, the key to marketing is to give people information they don't even know they got it. And Game News does a great job of like, you read this and all of a sudden you're cover to cover, and there's a lot in there.
Right, there is. We have our gun column, bow column. We have what we call our criminal minds column, which is law enforcement articles. People love those, hearing from our officers with different type stories. The most popular section of magazines is the field notes section, if everybody's familiar with that.
That smile on your face went ear to ear.
Well, that's little stories we get from any game commission employee, but mostly from our game wardens, some from biologists. But and I like to write a few myself, and probably the best one that I can remember that I wrote, I was on a deer decoy assignment with...
Wait, look, you're famous for this. This isn't just your... This is fame right
it's
here.
It's mentioned all the time.
Absolutely.
But, and I use it when I talk to the new cadets about writing field notes. But I was on a deer decoy operation with game wardens Kyle Jury and Andy Huser. And I was trying to make a long story short here, but I was in the vehicle with Kyle. And it was the last day of deer season a couple years ago. And... we were wrapping up. It was kind of slow, but we were wrapping up and going to pick up the decoys. We had a buck decoy and a doe decoy. The buck was standing, the doe was prone. But anyway, it was kind of slow. We were wrapping up. I was in a vehicle with Kyle. We were going down to retrieve the decoys. We got a call on the radio saying a truck's coming up the road. So Kyle pulled off the road there. We thought we were even in view of the vehicle coming up and stopped. Fella got out of the vehicle, laid his rifle across the back of the truck, and boom, lights come on, the sirens come on, we rush up there.
And I heard you were the first one there.
Well, I didn't remember this, but Kyle said I jumped out of the vehicle, ran up to the hunter and said, "Why'd you do this? I'll bet you'll never do this again." I don't even remember that, but he tells a story like that. But anyway, after all the paperwork was done, you know, the fellow owned up to it and said he did wrong and whatnot. But I said, no, he drilled the doe perfectly, the prone doe that was behind brush. He drilled it right in the shoulder. But I said, tell me, why did you shoot at the doe and not the buck? And he said, well, I tell you, my eyes aren't as good. And he said, I couldn't put three on one side. So here's a fellow worried about being legal doing an illegal act. So it was quite a field note. And like I say, it's kind of legend.
Oh, absolutely. That's a classic. And I mean, and just to, you know, the opportunities that I saw a picture in your office. There's lots of memories. Like at Punxsutawney Phil, I've seen you, you know, up there. You've got to do a lot of great cool things.
Worked the first elk hunt in 2001. I was up there and wrote an article on that, and that was a highlight of my career also, that first elk hunt. I mean, it was like a Grand Central Station up there with hunters, people riding around just to see the big bulls coming in. In fact, I got in on the first bull taken, and there's a photo in my office of that. So
that's
that
awesome.
Was a highlight of my career also.
So personally, I mean, what are your favorite things to do in when you talk about hunting?
Well, and that's what I wanted to mention too. I think Travis touched on it. We're all hunters that work on a magazine, and you need to be that. That shows. If you if you don't know hunting, you know, you can obviously edit hunting stories and things. Readers will pick up on that. So, but I like bird hunting myself. I mean, I really got into that. You've seen my shotguns. Got some fine quality shotguns, and I get a kick out of hunting with those. But after I retire, I'll probably get a another bird dog. So that's one of the things I'm looking forward to, too. I've had them in the past.
Awesome.
Now I know the guys that got the dogs, so I'm always hunting with somebody with dogs, which is a real thrill for me. So
I know what, I mean, obviously we talk a lot about this, but talk about your favorite for hunting.
Well, I don't know that I have a favorite. I kind of like it all. And it's like, you know, more and more, though, it's rabbit hunting is right up there. When I first started to run rabbit dogs, and I have three of them, and they're the only three dogs that I've ever trained or hunted with. And we're starting to show our age and all the way around, maybe. But when I first started with them, I was like, you know, I don't think there'll ever be a time where I'm going to pass up deer hunting to hunt with my dogs. And that's changed. You know, it's like my time recently here has been so divided anyway. And it's like when it comes time to give a day a week to hunt with my dogs, I'm going to take it.
That's
so
awesome.
So I absolutely love it. I love being in cover with them. I love jumping rabbits, putting them on the track, listening to them, everything about it. And you know, the best thing about rabbit hunting is it runs to the end of February, when deer seasons are closed. Even in those areas where they run longest, there's still a month of rabbit hunting left. So it's great. But like I said, I can't necessarily single it out, even though my eyes light up when you ask me a question about it.
Well, I come from anybody that grew up in my era, your granddad was probably had rabbit hounds or, you know, what have you. And I remember that very well as a child, and white-tailed deer and wild turkeys took over for me, which happens to a lot of people, but it's awesome when we come to work and to hear your rabbit stories. And you forgot to talk about squirrel hunting, because you make the best squirrel stroganoff, or your wife does.
Yeah,
somebody does.
I corrected me that.
Okay.
She wouldn't let me forget it. She makes a good squirrel stroganoff.
Yeah.
That's another thing I like, and I particularly like that early season we came out with a couple years ago. I like to get out there. You just love hunting squirrels, too. So.
Right. So while we're on this subject, this is something off the cuff, and we ask a lot of folks this, because there's no right or really wrong answer, but we use this word conservation a lot. Not just here, but in the hunting industry and even just in real world. So what is your, Travis, what would you give your definition of conservation?
Well, you know, I often ask myself what the definition of conservation is, because, you know, you see, it's almost like a buzzword. And it's like, you know, my background is in the newspaper business, where part of your job is to eliminate those buzzwords and replace them with things that everybody understands. And conservation can be tricky, because I think in different references, it means different things. I was given some thought to that this weekend when I was back in the Hammersley Wild area bear hunting. And, the shared relationship, you know, that link between hunting and conservation that never is broken, you know, the funding that hunters provide for the conservation of all species. So it, like, I guess in that context, conservation means keeping the whole thing going.
Right.
And you know, and ensuring that there's wildlife for the duration of our lives, our kids' lives, and,
right,
and on through. And that's really the responsibility of this agency. And it does come out in the pages of the magazine.
Right. Do you have anything that
hits it? I mean, Travis said it all there pretty much, but just the role hunting plays. A lot of non-hunters don't realize how much hunting plays in conservation and how hunters support wildlife in conservation.
And that's coast to coast. I mean,
exactly.
And we're living in, you know, all the negative stuff you might see, but we're really living in some incredible times. When you think about 2023 and, you know, turn of century was to the 1900s, there was a whole lot of things that weren't here that are here today. And yeah, you might, in your area, you might not see as many deer. You might see more. You might not hear as many turkeys, but we're living in a great time for conservation, and every one of us that is a hunter, an outdoorsman, or somebody that participates the least little bit into making sure that there's wildlife here to stay, we all We all do that because of a passion.
Yeah, you know, Bob had mentioned it's my birthday, and I was on the phone with a reporter yesterday and said, you know, I'm a former journalist too, so don't expect me to subtract 12 from 49. I can't do it. But that's how long I've been hunting.
Right.
And how things have changed in my time hunting, you know, from the 4-week archery season to a 6-week archery season to now 7 in concurrent seasons, and the whole ball of wax, the big changes in bear hunting and what have you. But like the thing that makes now such a great time to hunt is just it's like unlimited opportunity to hunt. Is, you know, you have long seasons, you have the opportunity to harvest more than one deer.
Right.
You have so much public land. You have so many places to go and oftentimes so close to home. And it's like really for anyone who's inclined and wants to spend time outdoors and wants to spend time outdoors hunting, there's an opportunity for you and year round and round the clock, really.
Yep. It's 37, by the way.
I knew I needed you. I needed help from somewhere.
One thing I can do, because I think about it in money, you know, like in change, which is something that I had to learn at a young age. But so let's go back to game news just for a second, and let's talk about how, you know, when you work with writers and you work with artists and how that relationship is with Pennsylvania Game News. Because when you think about artists, you think about Ned Smith. I mean, you think about, I mean, a lot of different Bob Sopcich, and I mean, there's so many to think about that were from here, you know, tried and true, and how that process kind of plays out still today. I mean, you got Jerry Putt and Melissa Ball, and I mean, there's so many artists out there and writers that make this thing successful as well.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. We got and like I say, Bob Sopcich, excellent artist, but he was also a great writer, and we put together his book.
I mean, he was so good that Bass Pro Shops hired him to go across the country and design their stores. I mean, a lot of people walk in there and don't realize that they're getting sold on somebody's vision, and that was Bob's.
Right, and he was working for us for a while, and then when he went to Bass Pro, he had to quit, but we were thankful when he let that go that he came back to us.
And his book is available on our website.
It's a big seller.
Right.
So. But you mentioned other art, Jerry Putt. We have Dana Twig now doing the field note art. Nick Rosato did that field note art for years, and he was a well-known artist. And I was glad I got to know him and work with him. But Dana Twig, who just picked it up a couple years ago, excellent artist.
So when you got a cover, like the recent cover is a whitetail. I mean, it's a buck. Looks like he's hitting a licking branch. I mean, how does that happen, if that process?
Well, what we do, we have a committee every September, and we pick our cover subjects that we want to go through. We'll have a committee with Game News staff. By any Bureau Director Steve Smith likes to get involved with that.
You guys really have to involve him?
Well,
we like it.
I'm teasing.
It's in our best interest.
I got you. Mm-hmm.
But we'll pick our subjects naturally for the fall. We want to go heavily with deer. Our newsstand people tell us we could run a big buck on every issue, and it would be, we'd even sell more on newsstand.
Well, you think about conservation, where would it be without whitetail deer? It's really, I mean, we have to be realistic about that.
But then we choose our covers, and then we have such a knowledge of the artist, we know who can do what better or best.
But part of what goes into the decision on covers and what's going to go on what month's cover in the coming year is, you know, the stories that we know that we have coming. Like with the magazines that are laid out before us on the table here, and, you know, we have a Bob White Quail on the cover, and because we wanted to have a story on the Bob White Quail recovery area. And, you know, we think about it at that level where it's like, you know, news is part of the name Game News. We want to be newsy and we want to be current with what's going on. So we have like initiatives that we know we want to touch on in the coming year. And it's a good opportunity for us to illustrate, especially if it's a species that we haven't had in the cover in a while.
Right. Or, you know, reintroduction of something that might be happening. Or we're giving the folks out there the news that comes there.
In the coming year, for example, we're going to launch this spring the next breeding bird atlasing period. So we're going to have like a collection of birds cover, and that one example of how we are always thinking ahead at what we're going to be doing and try to tie everything together.
Right, and Jerry Putt's going to do the cover that Travis mentioned on that bird collage.
Awesome.
And he's a great bird artist and things, and he excels at that. So.
Yeah.
But with the artwork in general, I mean, that's one of the things that I think I've found, like, really, that it was like, really just felt the best about it. It's like, you know, there's not every publication uses art like we do, like to be able to have a hand in the creation of this type and quality of wildlife artwork and kind of keep these guys going and use it and give it to readers, and everybody wins.
Absolutely.
And you know, that's something that really makes the job special for me and really makes it rewarding.
And a lot of magazines, Outdoor Life, Sports Afield, years ago, they would use art. Now everybody's just about totally using photos.
Or so graphics, or, yeah.
We're known for that also, our great
What's your favorite Ned Smith print? Do you have one?
The turkey print, Turkey Ridge. I forget the exact name of it. But,
Hillside Takeoff?
Hillside Takeoff.
That's my favorite. Absolutely my favorite. I mean, there's a whole bunch of good ones.
I started right after... Ned had left, but I did get to know him, and I was glad of that. But
that's pretty awesome. Did you know him?
Ned Smith?
Yeah.
No, a little before my time.
That's one advantage of being older, I guess. I mean, you get to know some of these older outdoor greats that have been around.
You know, I think about in my career, you know, the folks that have left us and you know, the mark that they've left on conservation, like Ned Smith and Bob Sopcich. And, I mean, the list goes on and on. You know, in the turkey world, like Ben Rogers Lee and Dick Kirby, and like heroes. And they paved the roads for conservation when you really think about it. And everything they did left it better than they found it. And that's really what our job is here at the Game Commission, and it more than just a job, it's our passion. And both of you gentlemen, you can see it just coming out of your eyes today.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about, we talked kind of about, you know, submissions and you know, all that information, and all the information about Game News is available on our website, but talk about the subscription. And, you know, we're at the holiday season. If someone's interested, if they have an outdoorsman in their family, it, you know, it does make a great gift, and it's not a sales pitch. It really is. You know, for $20, you get a whole lot, and you get 12 issues. Where can people reach out to look at information on a subscription?
Well, we go to our website. We have a sub blank in every issue. If somebody picks one up off the newsstand, they can pull that out and subscribe. And word of mouth from our readers, that's probably how we get a lot of our new subscriptions and people interested.
Well, we talk about it. We talk about it a lot too on social media, you know, especially during the holiday time, because, you know, there's lots of things that we haven't, even including our books, which someday we'll probably do another podcast about all the publications that we have available, mm-hmm. you know, through your bureau and I&E and all the writers and artwork and patch. I mean, there's a lot of things, a lot of history that we need to just make sure we keep on the forefront as we go forward. But gentlemen, thank you for joining us this morning. Thank you for what you do for the agency.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Wish everybody a happy holidays out there. There's a few days of deer season left. If anybody has tags in their pocket still, and we'll be expecting some squirrel stroganoff or some pheasant. I mean, I know you had a rabbit corn
soup.
Yeah, I was thinking chowder, but it's soup, rabbit corn soup.
Rabbit's always a terrific chicken substitute.
Right, but so I know, you know, the times that we're in are kind of crazy. I mean, lots of things happen, like the pandemic, and I know that you wanted to talk a little bit about that, Bob.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention an interesting fact, I guess you could say, is during a 16-month, we were all teleworking during COVID. We got the magazine out every month, never missed a beat. We got a letter in the mail, and I used it as a field note. An older gentleman wrote in, and he said during these rough COVID times, he knew things were going to be all right when he got his Game News magazine that month. And that
heartfelt.
Overwhelmed me, and I had to use it for a field note, and that just says it all about the magazine, right?
Absolutely,
there.
And it is. It's. I would say that Pennsylvania Game News is pure passion when you open it. I mean, it really is, right? But happy holidays to everybody out there, and thanks for tuning in to Call of the Outdoors here at the Pennsylvania Game Commission. And if you get a chance to take a look at a Game News, don't be afraid to subscribe, and we'll keep feeding that information out as fast and quick and as best that we can.